Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. You might not know the name Tom Cabala, but you would probably recognize his work. Cabala is an architect, principal and co-founder of Cedarburg-based Cabala Washotko Architects. He's designed many Wisconsin buildings, including the Milwaukee Public Market, the Urban Ecology Center, and the John Michael Kohler Arts Center, among others.
But just as important to Cabala is his work as an artist, especially his work in watercolors. He's had paintings displayed at galleries and public spaces around Wisconsin. And this year, he's one of the featured artists in Milwaukee Public Television's annual auction, which is currently going on.
Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski sat down recently with Tom Cabala to talk about both spheres of his work, and he first explained what he gets from being an architect.
It fulfills in me a need to serve the community. My parents brought me up in such a way that it was necessary for me to find a place to give back so that my life's work was constructive and not self-centered. So architecture seemed to be the kind of profession that did all those things for me and included all the skills and interests that I have been developing over a long period of time.
So do you pick and choose projects based on what those buildings' impact on the community will be as well?
We try to. You know, in good times, you can kind of pick and choose. And in the recession, we had to take whatever we could get. We've just, however, been extremely lucky as a group of people since we started in 1980 to attract people that had similar interests. So we haven't really had to reject too many projects because of a non-alignment with our goals as a firm.
And what is your main goal or your firm's main goal when you design a building?
Well, we try not to focus on a particular form or style. I think that's what distinguishes us as a group of architects in the city. We tend to look for vibrancy. We solve for vibrancy. Every kind of process that we use, the way we see the world, we try to reinforce projects that we work on with a sense of being a human within a wonderful environment. And being alive is important to us. So vibrancy has something to do with being alive as a human being. Buildings can have a very positive effect on vibrancy, and they can have a very negative effect. So that's what we focus more on. And then we've developed our way of making buildings to kind of shape and form around that idea.
So what has been your favorite building to create so far, or maybe is it a building that you're currently working on that has struck a chord in you that puts it above all the rest that you've done so far?
You know, one of the buildings that we feel is very successful in a number of levels is in Madison, actually, the first Unitarian Society was Frank Lloyd Wright's home church, and it's a famous building. We were charged to put an addition to it.
Okay.
And so under a kind of severe circumstances with a national community looking at over our shoulder, we engaged a number of different people rather than rely totally on ourselves to establish, again, a set of patterns of how a building, an addition, could interact with its history, with its current culture of Unitarianism, and with the community itself. We wrote a series of poetic patterns that described what that building needed to do from a very large scale to a small scale. And the congregation then could buy into it before it was designed because they, you know, buy into the intention of what the design needed to do. And so on many levels, the client in this case was an exuberant community that really went along with this idea and helped us edit the patterns. They discussed the patterns. They argued about the patterns until we had something that really everyone could agree to. The design then flowed very smoothly from that agreement. In the same way, when we design a colectivo here in Milwaukee or in Madison or Chicago, the same kind of effect takes place. We have such a deep kind of understanding with the owners who are always inventive, always looking for a way to engage what they do with the community. And so if you look at all of the collectivos that we've designed, each one is an experiment on how to increase that cohesiveness in a neighborhood. So we try to look at that cohesiveness or vibrancy from a very large scale, medium scale, small scale. The more layers of vibrancy you can pack into a space, the more alive it becomes. That's what we're really looking for.
Well, it seems to touch upon your personal mission of just giving back to the community that are impacted by these buildings.
Exactly.
And are there any other types of design that you want to explore? You know, that say you didn't have a client or community putting in their votes for certain designs. You know, is there something that you yourself have grown a liking to, a certain aesthetic or certain building layout? Or are there designs that have already been built, such as Gothic architecture, or certain things that you favor that, you know, if in a perfect world and you had a blank slate and all the money to fund this project, what would your ideal building be?
Yeah, that would be interestingly enough, that's an opportunity that a lot of architects wish they had. But I find that an unlimited budget and a blank slate actually is like designing in a vacuum. We really thrive in the best buildings that we've done have kind of unfolded from a very complex set of conditions that include cultural and historical, natural, and other features of the built and natural environment. So the more complex situation that we find ourselves in, the more interesting it is to design, because there are many more cues that the design can unfold into.
Now, to bring in your personal artistic side that goes beyond obviously designing these buildings, you are a watercolor painter as well. So do you find a happy medium with art and design in both realms of your work? And are there similarities between the two? Did you use watercolor, say, to sketch a preliminary design of a building in your work, and then at home you decide to paint a different scenic landscape with watercolor? How do you bring the two together, or do you keep them separate?
The practice of painting and doing architecture is almost the same. What we've found is that in the case of painting, you're faced with this white paper, and you have the ability, depending on how you organize different blobs of color, to bring a whole life and light to that piece of paper. In the architectural sense, we use the same skills to create mass and space, or form and non-form, in a certain kind of geometry to create life from kind of like from nothing. It's like magical to us.
Yeah.
And the magic is the same whether you're painting a painting or making a building or weaving a basket or making anything. The impact that you can have with that making is extraordinary.
And what subjects do you like to create with watercolor?
I'm attracted to certain things. I'm attracted to the way light falls on anything. And so because watercolor lends itself to painting light and dark, lightness and shadows, I'm really attracted to buildings in landscape where I try to blur the edges between the natural and the man-made. I'm attracted to strong graphical compositions. I've always been a fan of Japanese composition, so I kind of look for the high horizon line and the long diagonals that tend to create a certain dynamic in a piece.
And what kind of legacy do you want to leave and be remembered for in Milwaukee? And does this emphasize architecture or your personal artwork?
No, I've never done painting to kind of express myself. It's always been an experiment about bringing something to life that wasn't there. So if anything, I'd love to be remembered for bringing these ideas to Milwaukee, not only talking about them, but actually transforming space into a better place. And it's like that process behind it. It's what you do every day to make that happen, which is really important.
How did you come to choose architecture as your profession? Sure. Growing up, you said you had, you know, you're always painting, always in art. Did
always in
tempting
science.
Yeah. So how many fields were you interested in that kind of were tugging for your attention
Five or six.
Choosing
yeah.
a career?
At first, I wanted to be a garbage man.
Okay.
But that was because they were great looking, great people. I grew up in Hawaii, and the garbage men in Hawaii are fantastic. But later on, I had interests in art and science, and so it seemed that architecture was the only kind of open, nonspecific or generalist field where I could draw on those interests. So art and science was the perfect place to come together in architecture.
Do you think there's any other, I don't know if we'd say necessarily fields, but say, you know, theoretically coming up on retirement and you're thinking that you don't want to strictly just paint, are there any other areas of interest or projects that you want to explore that move beyond architecture?
Yeah, I'm interested in expanding the range of available types of housing for people. Particularly interested in cottage communities or cottage neighborhoods. So you know, even if I were to retire from a regular commercial practice, I could lend a hand to an effort like that, as well as obviously painting, but. I see a big need in the community, even a small town, a medium-sized town, or even a large city, the need to have a broader experience in the housing market. 'Cause I think any city or village or town needs a diversity of people. So if you don't have kind of an environment that accepts and invites a wide diversity of people, it's going to be self-exclusive and run into the problems that we've been faced with for a long time in Milwaukee.
What do you want to see Milwaukee turn into? And how does architecture and design translate to what you're going off of making a better community for all people?
Right. I'd rather not impose my idea for what the city should be. It needs to be itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the design professions need to recognize that, stop pushing their own kind of ideas of what it should be, and just look with their egos kind of set aside for a while. What is Milwaukee? What is it really? It's a fascinating mixture of old and new. It's an amazing mosaic of cultures that we have here. It can become something rich from its own roots, and that's what needs to be seen, I think, by designers and urban planners and whoever is in charge of developers, especially shaping what comes next.
And do you think it's even more important to focus on local companies to do that? Or do you think it's more important just to find the person who has the most open mind?
Yeah, good question. I'm a big proponent of local economy because it kind of supports what's here. There's not a savior kind of coming from the outside that could help us all. I think all the answers for what we need to do are all here within ourselves. So I'd rather see it happen here. I'd like to see the education of architects at UWM, a great school of architecture, take this mantle up and train architects just to see clearer.
Well, you are definitely part of the positive influence on the city with your buildings, and I'd like to thank you, Tom, for coming in today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Tom Kubala is principal and co-founder of the Cedarburg-based Kubala Washotko Architects. He's also an artist who works in watercolors, and he's one of the featured artists in this year's Milwaukee Public Television auction. You can find more about him from links at WUWM.com.
One last break, and then our monthly visit with musician John Seeger, who brings his guitar and another original tune. The monthly beatdown is next on Lake Effect.